1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 32. I love coming to church and being pumped. This morning, I felt like I had a message that was so needed in hearts and lives. Matter of fact, I think it's so needed, I'm just going to take a vacation next week and preach it again next Sunday. And seriously, very, very much needed in our lives as we consider that our liberty in Christ, our walking in the Spirit, and our treatment of brethren are so closely related. But I want us to know something here tonight, because we're going to notice here something that's just, it's just a little spot. One verse. I want you to notice this. Verse number 32. It says, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." Wow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this jewel that's set here in the midst of your word. Lord, I pray that you might work in our hearts tonight. I pray, oh God, that we would have listening ears and that you would do a work in our midst. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. How many believe perspective is very important? How we view things. I mean, think about it for a moment. The Bible says something in Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." That's talking a whole lot about our perspective, how we think inside of us. For instance, if we think negatively, and I've seen people like that, and as we grow older and older and older, one of the things I find with negativity is we become bitter, because nothing is good and everything's against us. You know, I mean, we just get that kind of way. And so there's that negative thing, and we can have that perspective, or we can think positively. Now, I don't know anybody that's all one or all the other, and most of us are somewhere in the middle there, but positive. And listen, it's something about if we think positive, we kind of seem to come up to it. You know something? Listen, parents, this is something for you. If you think positive about your children, I mean, you have for them some ideals and goals, and you're thinking positive, and you transfer that to them and help them to say, or to think, "Hey, Mom and Dad, they're really for me." It's not all about don't do this and don't do that and don't deal the other thing. I mean, it does wonders for young people. Perspective is a tremendous thing that you and I so much need. I look at this story here, and I look at these two chapters especially, and I think unto myself, we call these the mighty men of David. And we've talked about seven or eight of these, and as we look at these, we call them mighty men. Do you think Saul thought that way? These are his enemies. Saul's not looking at him in this light. Saul's seeing some guys that are against him. Matter of fact, Saul doesn't know anybody care about me. And we find that in the Word of God. I mean, he even voices it. And so we find that perspective is a wonderful thing. David looks at these, and David sees them as mighty men. As the mighty men of David are mentioned, we find that first we looked at it in chapter number 11, and it was talking about individuals. And it talked about how this one did this and this one did that, and different men who did tremendous things. I mean, I look at those and I think, wow, here are some men. I mean, they stood against some odds. How in the world did they do it? Well, they allowed God to work in their life. Now we're getting into groups of men. And some of them are small groups, some of them are large groups. And we look here in verse number 32, and we see this group of men, the children of Issachar, these children. And in this little verse, in this little nugget of verse, you know, some of the great verses of the Bible are just, I mean, they're just little jewels set there. I think about, you go back a couple of chapters, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In verse number 10 of chapter 4, I mean, in the midst of all those names, you're going to find something. You're going to find a prayer. And that prayer is often referred to as the prayer of Jabez. There's a reason, because it's his prayer. In that prayer, he says, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And it simply said, and God granted him that which he requested. A few words that this man spoke to God are recorded. And I know of two entire books devoted just to the prayer of Jabez. Maybe there's more, but I know of two. Little jewel saying, here's one for us. In this one verse, it talks about some men who had an understanding of their times. Notice that with me again, verse 32. It said, which were men that had what? Understanding of the times. They had true discernment. But not only did they understand the times, notice something that goes with it. It's very important we gather this. It says in that verse, to know what Israel ought to do. And it didn't stop there. And all their brethren were at their what? Commandment. Here were men who understood their times. They knew what they needed to do. And they pressed forward to accomplish what needed to be done. Many Christians have political savvy. I mean, listen to and can quote people like Limbaugh and Hannity and Levin and Savage and O'Reilly and Beck. And if I left yours out, a host of others. And sadly, often never know a verse of Scripture that might really move us forward. I want to ask you a question tonight. I'm going to step on some toes with this. Why do we need men who, by the way, make no or little profession of Christ to interpret for you and I what is happening? Why do we need that? Can't we think for ourselves? I mean, honestly tonight. Can we not look at things and through the Word of God make some interpretation, allow ourselves some understanding, and move forward based upon the Word of God? The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Here's some men that knew what Israel needed to do. Oftentimes, we as Christians, we think we are called by God to curse the darkness. But did you know God did not call us to curse the darkness? The darkness is already cursed. Listen, God doesn't need us to say, point out all those things that are evil and wrong. We know those things are there. They're there. That's very obvious. But God has called us to be light. To lead people in the right and the proper direction. Oh, how we need leadership today. I say to especially our men tonight, God give us some men. God give us some men. God give us some men who will stand for the things of God. Some men who will love their wives. I want you to turn with the book of Ephesians, please. Book of Ephesians. We're going to plant ourselves there for a little while tonight. Book of Ephesians, please. And I'll tell you what. I've heard men say, preacher, would you preach on this? My wife needs this. Would you preach on this? Would you tell her she needs to submit? By the way, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto... Help me out there. The Lord. Verse 22, I'm where I'm at. Chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Our women tonight need men who are like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the need tonight. Oh, how we need that. They need men who will love them. It goes on and it tells us something in verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives. I want you to look through that scripture sometime and notice something. God one time says to the woman that you are to submit. And that's, by the way, God's will. But we also find that three times God says to the man, love your wife. Now that's interesting. I believe men who really love their wives will probably submit. Oh yeah, there's some probably exceptions, but the problem, I believe, is not with the second in command, but the first in command. Oh, men like to say, I'm the leader of my family, I'm the king. See my crown? Here's my scepter. You child, do this for me. You wife, do this. Kiss my feet, you know, bring my groceries, do this, do that, do the other thing. That's not kingship. That's not leadership. That is self-serving. That's not what it's all about. And what do we need? We need some men who will lead in their families by, first of all, loving their wife. I want you to notice verse 25. Husbands, love your wives how? Even as Christ also loved the church. And what did He do? Gave Himself for it. He was willing to sacrifice Himself. And if I go on and read some more, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. What kind of man does God want in our home? God wants a man who is willing to sacrifice Himself to make her beautiful. I'm not talking about outer beauty. Nothing wrong with that. But inner beauty. Most men think the way to help their wife is to criticize everything she does. That won't help her. That won't help her. Are you listening? That won't help her. Because criticism, constant criticism, says, "I don't approve of your ways." And it's not instructive and not helpful. What man in here, what woman in here cannot look at their spouse and discover that there are all kinds of things that need improvement in their life? But by the same token, if one says to the other that something is wrong and makes critical remark, I guarantee you in most cases, now there may be a few exceptions, in most cases, most people will react by wanting to bring up what's wrong with you then. And if they don't bring it up, they're thinking it. It's there. God wants us to sacrifice ourselves to make them beautiful. And that means that we must take a lot of pains in their development spiritually. That means there's got to be a lot of time invested in them. Notice verse 28 and verse number 29. So ought men to love their wives, as their own bodies. Men, those are those guys that walk by the mirror and they... Yeah. They see a doorway. Whoops. Men get kind of infatuated with their bodies. God says we're to love them that way. In other words, He's to love her more than Himself. He wishes to serve her. So I'm the man of the house. She's supposed to serve me. The Lord Jesus Christ came to do what? Minister unto. He came to minister. He wishes to serve her, not to be served at His every whim. What's the problem in our homes today? The problem, there's a problem with wives, but there's also a problem with husbands. God needs some men. What? We need some men who discern the times that we live in. They recognize some things and they're willing to do something about it. In verse 33, He says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself." He is giving her security by being the responsible one. He's not leaving it all to her. I mean, being responsible. Now, most guys, I think being responsible is, "Hey, honey, give me the checkbook. I need to go buy a shotgun." "No, you can't do that. We need to buy groceries." "Well, I'll get a cheap one." No, I'm talking about being responsible. And being those kinds of fellas that are willing to give to them the security they so much need. We need some men today. We need some men today who are like these Issacharites that were discerning. They could understand the times in which they lived in and they did something about it. But not only do we need that, we need some men today who will guide their children. I go on to chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Who will guide their children. Again, not just point out all their flaws, but guide them. Showing them the right direction to go. helping them every step of the way. It's interesting, the Bible says, and ye fathers. Mothers are very good at that. Mothers don't need a whole lot of instruction. They just kind of do that. But daddies need some instruction. Because there is a tremendous opportunity for us. Not provoking them to wrath. But what? Bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This is making Deuteronomy chapter 6 very real in their lives. It's helping them to understand all the spirituality that is there. I mean, that God is in everything. Help them to realize how God orders our lives and blesses and strengthens and so forth. Helping them to relate to Him in every instance and every situation. But here's the average dad.
Well, I had a hard day today.
Who didn't? Who didn't? Days aren't easy. Kids don't need Mr. Grumpy Gus who sits on the couch throwing out orders. They need a daddy. Because they said here, bring them up in the nurture, that's instruction, and admonition, that's warning them of dangers. Warning them of the dangers in life and how they can prepare themselves for it. My mother was tremendous at that. That came natural. That is a pretty inborn thing with women, as I've discovered. But for some reason, God has to tell us guys that because we're a bunch of numbskulls. Why? It is tough work. It's not easy to do. But oh, how we need that. Back there we find the Ishmaelites. What were they? They were men of discernment. They understood the times they lived in. How we need to understand that our families need direction from us. Amen? Not only from the guys, but also from the women. I understand that. But who's the head of the house?
Oh, we want everybody to know it. I'm the head of the house.
But are we really? Are we really in our actions? Are we the right kind of husband, the right kind of daddy? But also, not only in our homes, but we need to make a difference in our communities. How do we do that? Primarily, for most of us, be through our local church. As we seek to reach out to those who are round about us to draw them to Christ. You know, the answer to America is not in the White House. The answer to America is in the church house. As God's people get busy for Him and reach the world for Him. There's the need. As we reach out to those who are round about us to seek to draw them to Christ. Listen, this world is not going to change until their hearts are changed. Do we understand that? Well, I'm going to vote for this political guy. Listen, until the hearts are changed, he can't do much. There's a need there. And we need to lead others into real life. It is sorely needed in our communities. I say thank God for the men and women of this church who are willing to give themselves to do that job. Oh, what a job we have out there. There are hundreds of boys and girls in this city of ours. There are many, many parents. I mean, there are literally thousands who need Christ. Our community needs us. And we need to reach out to them. We need to understand the times we live in. We live in a time when men and women need Christ. And we need to discern there's a way to reach him. And we need to figure it out and go after it. We've got the tools. We've got a lot of tools to work with. But we need hands on the tools. And there's folks that need us. Our families need us. As we seek to train them, those around about us, they need us desperately. Here were men who had discernment. And they could see. Listen, oh, we look and we say, well, our nation politically is in a mess. Yeah, we know that. Why is it in a mess? It's because the White House has become what's in most of our houses. And there needs to be a change at the base level. That we take the responsibility, and not just for a few moments and get revved up in a service, but it's lasting. Amen? There's a need there. The devil's going to fight it every step of the way. But real men don't give up because the devil's fighting. Keep on plunging ahead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you for these Israelites. Had a discernment of their times and were willing to do something about it. Oh Lord, we get so taken with so many things and don't really see the great need that is here. The realization of what really needs to be done and what we can do. Lord, we too often want to tell others what to do. We too often are like armchair quarterbacks and see what others do wrong. But, oh God, you've given each of us a responsibility. Lord, empower us, strengthen us, give us that discernment. Work on our hearts. Oh God, give us some of that good old-fashioned intestinal fortitude, God, that the guts to do it. Lord Jesus, bless and work in hearts. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.